Because they're coming quickly. A couple of them. We're all together. I tell you, it's good to be back in God's house and seeing everybody's beautiful face again. If you have your Bibles this morning or this evening, I really know what time of day it is. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to try to conclude tonight our brief exit onto the marriage relationship, which is not out of context in what we've been talking about in Genesis chapter 2. But we will be digressing somewhat tonight on that subject still of marriage. But let's go first of all to Genesis chapter 2. And we'll go to the, and we're going to pick up reading. I've got my small print Bible tonight at verse 21. Again, we'll pick up reading at verse 21. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, tonight we ask for, first of all, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name for the Spirit of God to illuminate the Scripture to us, to give us wisdom and insight, and for Him to hold up the truth of God's Word before us in a clear and understandable way. We realize we can do nothing in and of ourselves. We are totally dependent upon the movement and operation of the Holy Spirit if any good is to be accomplished. And Lord, we know that you want good to be accomplished. So we ask in Jesus' name, let the Holy Spirit of God anoint everything that's said and done tonight. And we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever is accomplished in our lives tonight by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we had left off the last time we'd met on Wednesday night. And teens, you can be dismissed. They already run off. Okay, good. I forgot to dismiss them. We were discussing in the Garden of Eden, and we'll read the scripture here in just a moment, how God instituted, first of all, the church as an institution, because he gave, obviously, and this we're still talking before the fall, Adam and Eve were in perfect fellowship with God. They worship God all the time. That's the church as an institution. The second institution of God was the institution of marriage. When God formed the woman, we're going to reread it here in just a moment. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He took out of Adam's side one of Adam's ribs, and from that he formed the woman. And the Bible says, and the Lord God brought the woman to Adam. That's your world's first marriage ceremony there. It's very important to God. It's nothing that should ever, ever be taken lightly. So with all that little background to hopefully get us thinking in the right genre, let's begin reading at verse 21 of Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Now that's beautiful. That is so absolutely beautiful. How God himself made this lovely and beautiful creation for man. And the Lord God himself presented Eve to Adam. And said, I've made this for you. And that was the world's first marriage ceremony right there. So, you know, God was the minister, for lack of a better term, that performed the world's first marriage ceremony. And that's how God has always intended it to be. A man and a woman. As some preachers have said in recent years, you know, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, that's very true, you know. No hint do you have of anything other than this being God's system, a man and a woman. And the Lord brought Eve, the woman, unto Adam. Verse 22. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was made out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to the wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's very powerful words right there. We all ought to highlight them in our Bible, especially those of us that are married. We brought out the distinction last week of the depth of what this really means. The two become one flesh. That means once the marriage has taken place in the eyes of God, God sees that marriage as being one entity. And you can use the same concept of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's how powerful God views the marriage relationship. The two become one flesh. And we brought out about how we ought to behave toward one another as husbands and wives. I use the illustration of if I just take my fist right now and just begin bashing myself in the head, you'd think I was crazy. As well you should. However, when we mistreat our spouses, the two are one flesh. We're hurting our own self as badly as we are our spouse when we mistreat them in any capacity. Ooh, we need to think about that. It always gets quiet on that. I know it's a sobering thought, isn't it? The two are one flesh before Almighty God. That's powerful, church. It's very, very powerful. And this word, when it speaks to us, it says what it means, and it means what it says. And that's how powerful the marriage relationship is to God. And that's why mommy and daddy have to be excluded from this. That gets tough sometimes. Yeah, you're to put your spouse above your mother and father. When you don't do that, you're going to have trouble in your marriage. Oh, it's getting quiet. And I'm going to tell you flat out, if you've got an overbearing parent, you're scripturally in order to let them know they come before you do. And that's scriptural. Oh, could I get an amen from anybody? Thank you, Richie. I was getting scared there for just a minute. The two are one flesh. I don't want to dwell on it too long. Hopefully, what I'm reviewing, it's bringing it back to you how serious and how deep this is. The two becoming one flesh in the sight of God. And, you know, we're going to read over in Ephesians here in just a minute. Using this same illustration, the Bible says nobody ever hated their own flesh. You're to treat your spouse just like you treat yourself, even better. I just ain't Pastor Greg going to read that from Scripture here in a minute, okay? But this is, I can't overemphasize, and we don't think of it this way often enough, do we? After we've been married for a while, if we're not careful, all of us can lapse into a state of state of somber, a state of sleepiness, laziness, lethargy in our marriage relationship. And we forget to think about what the Word says about our spouse. And, you know, God Almighty, if you're Christians, God Almighty has ordained you to be together. It's a very serious thing. We ought to think about it a lot more often than we do, especially those of us that have been married for a while. Newlyweds are great at this, in all honesty. Really? Now, aren't they? I mean, really? Well, let me illustrate what I'm talking about. You know, when you're dating and everything, first years of marriage, you'll open that door for that spouse still, and you'll sit in church and hold their hand. And, you know, really, you remember those days? They should never end. They should never end. One thing that me personally, I have missed over the last 12 years of my life is that, and I've always done this. I did it when I had the opportunity, I should say. I love to sit in church with Vonnie and put my arm around her and hold her hand. I did it for years, didn't I, Ravonna? Until all of a sudden one day I started preaching. Now that may render that pretty much impossible to do. But don't always, you won't lose or become lethargic in your relationship if you continually remind yourself what God's Word has to say about that relationship. And it's very, very powerful. We've just read it. The two become one flesh. And so be as kind to your spouse as you would be to yourself, because if you don't, you're just hurting yourself. Really. It's spiritually, when you're mean to your spouse in any capacity, spiritually, it's just the same as you stand there taking your fist and beating yourself in the head with it. Same concept in the spiritual sense. So it's very, very powerful. Okay, let's go on. And verse 25 tells us, and the man and woman both, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. I know that's almost incomprehensible to grasp, and I want to be delicate in how I'm saying this. I don't want to us right now. I mean, let me be careful. You've got to bear in mind at this stage, who's laughing at me? Deb is. At this stage, there was no sin nature. Man and woman both were in a perfect relationship with Almighty God. Many Bible scholars that I've read after, and I'm inclined to agree with them, believe that they were literally had an aura about them of whiteness and purity. So there was absolutely no need at all for them to be ashamed. They basked in the glory of God. There was no sin nature. There was no improper thinking. There was no sin-laden lust. It was a perfect and unbroken fellowship with God and with one another. And that's why they were not ashamed around one another. Man and woman shouldn't be now. I mean, hopefully you're not now around your spouse, but, you know, at this point in time, there was no sin nature. And everybody was, this is how God designed us. I mean, I guess Calvin Klein and Levi's, you know, they have their fortunes to thank to the fall, because it was after then, after we fell, was when God put clothes on us. Okay, we're going to read about that over in Genesis 3 when it says the Lord God made coats of skins, you know, and covered. He provided the covering for mankind's not only physical nakedness, but for mankind's spiritual nakedness. And we're going to go deeper into that. But concerning this marriage relationship, here's where we left off last week, where we're talking about biblical submission. And hopefully you'll recall that we said, let's just go read it. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Okay. I've mismarked my place. Excuse me. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Okay, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And we brought out how this act of submission, and Paul asked a very good question of me right before service tonight that I'm going to address here too, because it was such a good question. But biblical submission is not the wife blindly following whatever her husband says in every instance. That's patently unscriptural. Some people try to teach it that way. And you talk about a true male chauvinist, and the church is full of them, unfortunately. They just want to lord it over on their wives and say, I'm the man, you do what I say without question. That's patently unscriptural, put that way. Now, I'm going to qualify that statement, okay? But stated that way, and how many times have I heard it? And I've counseled spouses. When the husband was this way, you're supposed to do what I say. You know, when what he was asking that woman to do was patently unscriptural. She is not supposed to submit to that. Okay, and I'm going to give you some examples. So wives, submit to your husbands. What is submission then? Let's define what it is. It's when that woman has her life submitted to Jesus Christ. Her allegiance is first to the Lord Jesus Christ, even above her husband. Okay? I want that to sink in. I feel the Holy Spirit in that one tonight. Her allegiance first is not to you, man. It is to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Therefore, if what you're asking her to do comes in conflict with the Word of God, she does not scripturally have to submit to what you're asking her to do. Let me give you an example. Husbands get wild ideas like this all the time. We men seem to be more prone to come up with junk like this. I think Paul brought it out last week when the woman took the bone out of Adam's side. He also took some maybe emotions out of Adam. That's kind of a good thought, some softer emotions, you know, the female side, for lack of a better word. And so therefore you ladies, by nature, are not as prone as we men are to wild and crazy ideas. But let's just say that husband gets a wild idea where he wants that wife to go out drinking with him. Now, let's just say he's, you know, he can proclaim to be a Christian all he wants to. Teach Sunday school, go to church, you know, sing in the choir, the whole nine yards. Let's say that husband's asking that wife, honey, I want you to go out and have a drink of whiskey with me. Or else I think we need to do some marijuana together. Or here's the big one. Maybe we ought to bring somebody else into our marriage in a physical sense to spice it up a little bit. I know we're Christians, but this is something I want to do, and you're supposed to submit to me. Uh-uh. Nope. That's not what biblical submission is. Because that husband, or sometimes the wife, has just asked you to do something that flies in the face of the Word of God. Your first allegiance is to Jesus Christ. Never forget that. So therefore, if he tries to pull that one on you and say, well, you have to do this, I'm the man. Pull out your word, ladies, square your shoulders, and say no. I love you, and I'm going to pray for you. Don't be mean. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. But what you're asking me to do goes against what my Lord and Savior would have me to do, and I'm telling you flatly no. Now, and she would be perfectly in scriptural order in doing such, because the first allegiance is to Jesus Christ. Well, that's a tough one for the male ego, ain't it? Ladies, it's your chance to shout right now. You better take full advantage of it. Because it's not going to stay this way forever in this discussion, okay? So go ahead and take full advantage of your chance to shout right now. But submission is neither. Now, guys, it's going to be our turn to shout. Neither is submission, ladies, you trying to play the part of the Holy Spirit to shape and mold your husband into what you think he ought to be. Okay, guys, say amen now. How many times have I seen marriages in trouble because the wife was trying to do that? She was trying to be the Holy Spirit. Nag that poor man to death. Okay? Because she's trying to shape him. She's trying to mold him into what she thinks he ought to be. That's turning into rebellion right there. Because that woman is placing herself in the role of the Holy Spirit. And all she's going to do is nag that poor guy and drive him crazy, telling him all the wrong he's done and what he ought to be doing. Oh, it's good tonight, ain't it? You didn't expect this on Wednesday night, did you? Studying about Adam and Eve. Lord, Pastor, where are you? We weren't ready for all this. It's good, though. It's truth. Okay, but let's go on now. Hopefully, any questions on what I just said? I just feel to dwell just a moment on this issue. Let's take something else. Let's use something. Paul, can I use your example you brought up before service tonight when we were talking, because it was such a good one? let's say the husband, for whatever reason, let sin get a grip on him. And all of a sudden, that pastor's preaching convicts his heart. He ain't liking it. I mean, he's feeling like every service he's Saddam Hussein at a Green Beret picnic. Okay? And he makes up his mind, because he's in sin, something's got a grip on him, and he don't want to let go of it. He likes it a lot. But he wants to get out from under that Holy Ghost conviction any way he can. Well, what's the first thing he's going to do? Well, you know, honey, preacher there, I love him, but he ain't really feeding me anymore. You know, I've been going to Brother Big Buck's church up the road here at the Congolium Cathedral. Man, they had a service there. I think we ought to go over there, honey. What's that wife to do? And let's say down at Brother Big Buck's church at the Congolium Cathedral. Oh, this is good, ain't it, Richie? Let's say down the road at Brother Big Buck's Congolium Cathedral, they got it all going on. I mean, they're running the purpose-driven program. They're chanting mantras. Man, they got dancing ladies. They got screens, every kind of program you could name going on. The only thing they don't have going on is the truth of God's Word coming from their pulpit. Okay, what's the wife doing in that situation? The floor is open.
Jesus first.
What's that, Phil?
Jesus is first.
Elaborate on that a little bit more. That's a good, I agree with you, but.
That'd just be scripturally wrong. I mean, it won't be right to go to another false doctrine.
That's right. Because, and why? Because you said it, Jesus
is
first. I agree with Phil. Somebody else jump in. What's that wife to do? Yeah, Richie. Okay.
It's good. Just to go here, and the wife is like, and then the man is torn between, you know, family and friends and
that's a
and
good
all of this thing, and the man knows the truth.
Uh-huh.
Where he needs to be going. I mean, how
what,
does that fall into play?
What should he do?
Should the man allow the Holy Spirit to do the job in revealing the truth to the wife,
uh-huh.
or should I hammer the truth, or should he do? You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well, that's a Richie. That's a great question. The thing to do is to stand in what you know to be the truth. Now, listen, don't make the mistake I was talking about a little bit earlier of trying to be the Holy Spirit to that spouse. By lording it over on them, saying, I'm the man, bless God. Here's where I said we're going to church, and you're going to go with me, or there's going to be the devil to pay for it, you know, for you not obeying me. No, don't present it to them that way. Let them know you as the spiritual high priest of your home, knowing what's right. And, of course, I'm predicating my answer upon the fact that, you know, the church we're talking about is preaching the cross of Christ. Okay? That should go without saying, I hope. You stand on what you go to that church and you tell her flat out, here's why, show her the scriptural evidence. Here's why I don't want to go to that place over there. Here's why I, as a spiritual leader of our home, I'm making this choice. Okay? Now, I can't make you go with me. And I won't. But you study the Word of God for yourself, and I believe, it's probably going to get ugly here, but I believe you're in rebellion. And I'm going to love you, and I'm going to pray for you, because I'm worried about you. But I'm making the decision, here's where we need to go, based upon biblical evidence. Does that help you somewhat? Without browbeating her, without trying to coerce or manipulate her into doing what you want her to do, that's what I said. Don't play the role of the Holy Spirit. Make your decision in love, because that's how the Lord would do it. You know, the Lord don't force us to, and he could, but he don't force us to serve him and do what's right. So by love, state the truth. You lead by going to the place you know is right and tell her your reasons for doing so. Or tell that spouse, I'm trying to personalize it too much. There's just you asked the question, okay? But let them know, here's what you're basing your decision on. And
it is personal. The personal.
It's very personal. That's what.
And that's
yeah, that's what Paul and I were talking about before service. Let me bring this out again, because Paul, he didn't know it, but he was teaching my lesson back there tonight. I was so overjoyed with what. The decision on what you place yourself under spiritually is the most important decision you're ever going to make. Because what you hear taught and preached from the Word of God is going to determine, to a large degree, how well your spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ goes. Now, yeah, you can be saved and make it into heaven and live a joyless, non-overcoming, non-victorious life down here on planet Earth by choosing to place yourself under another system of sanctification. In other words, you can trust in the cross of Christ, okay, for salvation, as millions do. Leave it off there and go out and try and sanctify yourself or place yourself under some other program of sanctification, and you'll live a miserable Christian experience. Okay? You can do that. But that's not God's plan or God's desire. So the most important decision you're going to make is what you place yourself under spiritually. You had better take the time to make a proper evaluation of what that church and what that minister really believes. And you can't hear somebody just one time and get all that. Really. I'm going to sit here and tell you. Sometimes if I didn't know better, when you tune into somebody like Joel Osteen, that guy preaches some good biblical truth sometimes. Thought you'd never hear Pastor Browning say that, did you? That's what makes somebody like him so dangerous. He'll preach a lot of good biblical truth. He would agree with me, I'm sure, on everything I've said tonight about the marriage relationship. But when it comes to the core belief of what is God's system of sanctification and how does it operate, he wouldn't have a clue. Here's a man who couldn't even stand up for his faith on Larry King Live when Larry King asked him, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Well, I just don't know. I just don't judge. I don't get involved in things like that. I'm an encourager. That was his answer to Larry King. I've got the transcript if you don't believe me. That's a direct quote. So therefore, to just hear him preach one time, you might hear some real good things. And you think, whoo, God, I'm going to Brother Joel's church. Look how big it is. Man, they got everybody else down there. You better be careful. It's impossible to make a proper spiritual evaluation of a minister or a church on one or two visits. You better compare what they're saying over a protracted period of time to the Word of God and then make your decision. Because what you place yourself under spiritually will affect everything about you. Here, that's true. It'll affect everything. So when that spouse gets the hot foot for whatever reason, wants to go trekking off somewhere else, let's bring it down to what we're talking about now. Let's look at it from the woman's side. You know, that man that was being convicted and don't want to let go of sin, want to drag you off somewhere else where you know what they're doing is not right. You are not being rebellious if you take the word of God and tell him no. What they're doing there is unscriptural. It's not right. And I want to know explicitly your reasons for wanting to make this move. Now, if it's from the man's standpoint, like what Richie brought out, you should make your case to that spouse, and then as the leader of that home, tell them, here's why I'm going there. They're preaching the truth. And of course, it goes much deeper than what I'm saying. Show them the Word of God where they're preaching the truth. Show them where where the place maybe you're at now is an error. And as the leader of your home, men, make that decision. And if she don't want to follow you, pray for her. Pray for her. But again, this is the core truth of what everything we're saying tonight. Jesus Christ comes first. That's it, in a nutshell. Your allegiance is first to Jesus Christ, even over your spouse. Boy, we've covered a lot tonight. But that's what can happen. And how many times have I seen it happen? And you know what usually happens for that one spouse, or I'm just using the man for an example tonight because I think men do this more often than ladies do for the most part. That man who drags that wife away, he's usually trying to isolate her to get her out of her comfort zone so he can continue to work his little plan on whatever it is he's working toward. Oh, I'm preaching, ain't I, Phil? I really am. If there's no scriptural foundation, no reason for it, that's a red flag right there. If it's one of these generic statements like, well, the pastor ain't feeding me, or, you know, well, hey, that might be. I'm not saying that can't be the case. But just don't accept a generic statement like that. Why isn't he feeding you? Is he not preaching the cross? Is he not preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified? Is he preaching an errant doctrine somewhere? Please let me know as my husband so I can evaluate it with you and know what to do. But why would you want to make a move just to be making a move? Dennis and I have talked about this several times before, how dangerous it is to go church hopping. It'll make a spiritual wreck out of you. It will make a spiritual wreck out of you, especially if you're hopping for all the wrong reasons. Just because there's a selfish desire in your heart, or there's some sin you don't want to be with and you're deal with through the cross, and you're being convicted where you are. It's quiet, but it's deep tonight, folks. We're talking some deep things of the Spirit tonight, real stuff. I mean, we're real tonight. So any further, I hope we've covered. We haven't gone very far tonight. We've gotten far, but not. But talking about submission, I hope we've helped a little bit put it in perspective for you. I hope tonight we've helped a little bit make you think about how you evaluate what you're placing yourself under spiritually, because it's the most important decision you're ever going to make. It should be weighed with the utmost of discernment and prayer where you're going to go to church. It shouldn't just be a flippant thing of, I like this, I like that. How many people today choose a church? I've heard this as a pastor so many times. Well, I'm going church shopping. And what, believe me, if you take that kind of attitude, there's one on every corner, that, and you're going to hit one eventually, that's going to have whatever it is you're seeking for. If it's for them to tell you adultery is okay, if it's for them to tell you there's a way other than by the cross, you're going to eventually find you a church out there that'll give you what you want. And so many people, I've seen lives wrecked over this, spiritually. Families torn apart. Divorces, children's hearts ripped out of them. Based on what I'm talking about tonight, I can't overstate the importance of it to you as your pastor. The choices you make are going to affect you spiritually and what you place yourself under. And if you're going out church shopping based on how many times have I heard people do it? Well, what is it you like? Well, they got a great kids program. Well, I like the way the dancers twirl. I like that big screen. And I love hearing the choir sing. Well, I love a good choir too. But the one thing you must evaluate as an individual believer, how do they view the Word of God, and how do they view Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross? And it won't take you very long at all to find out, because it's missing from so many churches today. Those two attributes. It's a rare find. We may not be the most, I'm going to pay us a compliment, we ain't a perfect church. There's no such thing. You won't find a perfect church. Crossway Community Church is certainly not a perfect church. We got a whole lot of room for improvement. But one thing we don't need to improve on is our message and what we believe. Because that's right. And that's the most important thing. And so rarely do people go looking for that when they're making a choice on where they're going to attend church. It's usually every other reason in the world, but I want God's truth. Is God's truth being preached there? And I know you all live out in the world too. You know what I'm talking about. How many times have you heard this? Well, I'm going church shopping. Well, I've decided to go to this church. Well, why? Well, they got a great kids program. And I want my kids raised in a great kids program. Well, I want my kids raised in a great kids program too. But just because they've got a lot of activity going on, if they're not teaching those kids the truth of God's Word, you might as well be dropping them off at daycare. It'll do them as much good. You see what I'm saying? So what you choose to place yourself under spiritually is the most important decision you're ever going to make. You better not take it flippantly. And you better not play with it and lightly hop from here to there or think you can get away with doing such. Because it will cause you and your family great spiritual harm if you make the wrong choice. Don't make that mistake of evaluating on one visit, one experience, one sermon. Know the totality of what's being taught and what's being preached. Any questions or comments? We got through one verse of Scripture tonight. It was a good one. It was a good one. Any questions or comments tonight before we're going to pick up? I feel this subject matter that we're dealing with is of such vital importance that I don't care to take the time. We're going to continue on with it next week. We're going to go back here to Ephesians. Let me read that before we dismiss. Let's read 22 through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. There is so much in this, I've got to go back and cover it, but we'll do it. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be so to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and change her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. There you have scripture backing for what I told you at the start of service tonight, about taking the fist and beating yourself in the head with it. Okay? There you've got the scriptural backing for that. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes, just as the Lord does the church. In other words, as highly as you think of yourself is exactly how you're supposed to treat your spouse. And when you fail to do so, it's just like hating and mistreating your own self. That's powerful, isn't it? And I ain't making this up. This is coming right from here, okay? This ain't my opinion. This ain't conjecture on my part. This is the word of Almighty God we're reading right here. And I'm gonna leave off right there. Just we'll read the rest of it. I think I read the most important part I wanted to get to tonight. We'll elaborate on that next week. Any other questions or comments before we leave tonight? Have I made you mad? Have I made you glad? Hopefully God's helped us all tonight to think soberly about how we order our spiritual lives. It's been deep, ain't it? It's been real, I guess would be. It hadn't been that deep. It's been real, I guess would be the proper word to say. Like all the hip people say, you know, keep it real. We kept it real tonight. Amen? Well, let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and praise you and give you glory and honor for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord Jesus, let us continually examine our hearts and our lives to make sure that our faith is anchored exclusively in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we as husbands or wives, I pray for every marriage in this church tonight, Lord Jesus, that you would let us see the depth of the marriage relationship in your sight. Father, let us take care how we treat one another as spouses, knowing that we should be nurturing and loving one another just as you love us and love the church. And that, Lord, when we mistreat one another, as, Lord, we're all prone to do and have done, Lord, let us be quick to seek one another's forgiveness and the restoration that only Jesus Christ can bring through repentance of our sin. And let us be men and women of God, bold enough to face the real problems that are before us and not do as Adam and Eve did and point our fingers at other sources when the fault is on us. Oh, Lord, I sense your Holy Spirit moving mightily tonight. I feel you by the moving of your Holy Spirit, have caused us to soberly think about these all-important issues we've discussed tonight. And I pray, Lord, that these words of wisdom from your word will be infused upon the spirit of every husband and every wife in this sanctuary tonight, that we would be able then to love one another with the God kind of love, which is not in us, except you pour it through us. Let us be quick to repent to one another. Let us not get the idea we should lord it over one another, but let us love one another as we love you, Jesus, and as we love our own self. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed. Lord willing, barring any other blizzards, we'll see you in church this Sunday morning. And no potluck this week. That'll be next month, okay?